Welcome to Treasure the Word. Here are some insights on Ezekiel 13:15. False peace and a useless vine. If the temple's private idolatry was one form of Judah's unfaithfulness, the public preaching of her prophets was another, and arguably more dangerous, because it dressed itself up as the very voice of God. Woe to the foolish prophets who follow their own spirit and have seen nothing, the Lord declares through Ezekiel. Even though the Lord has not sent them, they say, the Lord declares. Have you not seen false visions and uttered lying divinations when you say, the Lord declares, though I have not spoken? 13:3-6-7. These were not enemies of Israel's faith. They were its most trusted teachers, and their crime was telling comfortable lies in God's name to a people who wanted comfortable lies more than they wanted the truth. Chapter 14 widens the indictment to the elders who came seeking a word from the Lord while privately holding on to their idols, and it closes with a sobering picture. Even if Noah, Daniel, and Job, three men renowned across Scripture for extraordinary righteousness, were living in Jerusalem, they could save only themselves by their righteousness, not the city. 14:14-20. No accumulation of individual righteousness, however great, could stand in the gap for a nation this compromised. It is a theme that will return with even more force later in the book, when God searches for someone, anyone, who might stand in the breach on Jerusalem's behalf, and finds no one. Chapter 15 closes the section with a small, almost throwaway image that carries real weight, Jerusalem compared to a vine. Not a productive vine bearing fruit, but wood, and useless wood at that, good for nothing but burning, since vine wood is too soft even to make a peg to hang something on. As I have given the wood of the vine among the trees of the forest as fuel for the fire, so will I treat the people living in Jerusalem, verse 6. The image is deliberately deflating. Israel had no inherent value the way a strong oak or cedar might. Whatever value she had ever possessed lay entirely in her fruitfulness, in what God had intended to grow from her. Stripped of that purpose, she was simply fuel. There is a warning here worth sitting with, especially for anyone in a position to teach or preach. It is a far more comfortable thing to tell people what they want to hear than what they need to hear, and the temptation to do so does not require malice. Often it requires only the desire to be liked, to keep the peace, to avoid the awkwardness of correction. But Ezekiel's false prophets remind us that popularity and truthfulness are not the same measure, and a message can be warmly received and still be entirely false. Discussion questions 1. The false prophets in chapter 13 claim divine authority for messages God never gave them. How can we test whether a message from a pulpit, a book, or our own convictions is genuinely from God? 2. Even Noah, Daniel, and Job could not save the city by their own righteousness. 14:14. What does this teach about the limits of individual holiness to shield a community from the consequences of its collective sin? 3. Jerusalem is compared to a useless, fruitless vine. See 15. What do you think it means practically for a life or a church to be fruitful rather than merely present? 4. Where have you been tempted to soften a hard truth, to yourself or to someone else, because the truth felt unwelcome? Thank you for spending this time in Ezekiel 13-15. Until next time, keep treasuring the word.